Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
All right, but right before I was talking about banner construction, I was literally on the phone with DirecTV because, well, I'm going to bring Ian Scheer into this conversation. This is a technology issue this afternoon. CNET Editor-at-Large Ian Scheer is with us. How are you, Ian?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, so we're going to talk a little bit about AT&T and DirecTV. So my wife sent me a text just a little while ago. I'm getting a new roof on the house. We had some hail damage, right? And they had to remove the satellite dish. Apparently, they've destroyed the satellite dish, and we need a new satellite dish. So my wife was on the phone with DirecTV, but she's not an authorized user. I guess it's me.
Yeah, then whoever's on the account.
Right, okay.
That kind of thing.
So they have to send a new dish out. The roofers are going to pay for all that stuff. But I just called back at the top of the hour because, like, I'm the authorized guy. And this customer service rep is telling me, no, we need to troubleshoot it. You're probably getting a code of 701. I'm like, dude, the thing is physically destroyed. We need a new dish. And he seemed, you heard him, so he seemed to indicate that that was not something that he could do.
I could only hear your side of it. Ian, I could only hear his side.
Well,
and he kept saying, well, if that's not an option, then what I'm saying is it's completely destroyed. What can we do?
And then, he said he was going to send a technician. But I'm going to tell the technician that there's send me a new dish. That I can't watch the Olympics. I'm going to have to come to your house, Sue.
Oh, well, that's fine. But
My goodness. Anyway. Well, maybe we should just start with that, Ian. Why is DirecTV breaking free from AT&T?
Because AT&T got too big for its britches. You know, we saw this company turn from what was a phone company, if we think back a few decades, into a media conglomerate that in some ways is almost funny to think about, right? I mean, you think of very few companies other than maybe Fox or Comcast, NBC, who have become the size that AT&T did, Verizon. And what ended up happening is that they, like many other companies, realized, well, wait a minute. It costs a lot of money to make movies and TV shows and to give me wireless service and to do all these other things. So they realized, well, maybe it makes more sense for these companies to be separate and to be valued higher by Wall Street, which is really what this all comes down to. So now we're starting to see, for example, Warner Media, right, which owns HBO and all that stuff, it's being split off into Discovery and being merged with the Discovery World. And then we've got now DirecTV being split off into its own thing. And then you'll have, of course, the phone people, who it all started with as a separate company as well.
It's
really
so confusing.
Kind of funny to watch this happen.
All right, so I am a loyal and longtime DirecTV customer. One of the main reasons is because of Sunday Ticket. I'm a huge Packers fan and Chiefs fan. And when I was in Wisconsin, I wanted to see the Chiefs. When I'm here, I want to make sure I can see the Packers as much as possible. And I've been very loyal because of that. Every time someone comes and says, hey, do you want to change? I said, no. Well, that's going to Amazon now, and I'm not sure I'm the only person out there hanging with DirecTV because of that reason, but where does this leave DirecTV competitively moving forward?
I mean, that's going to be the $16 billion question,
yes.
Which is what it's currently valued at by Wall Street. You know, I'm really curious to see what ends up happening myself. I think that part of what makes DirecTV very interesting is they have a streaming service. For a while, they were one of the most competitive streaming services out there. So, you know, they were offering TV streaming, live TV streaming, in a way that now is pretty common, but, you know, a few years ago was really unusual. And I don't know what they're going to end up being able to do. They still think that there's value in that. In a world where Disney Plus and HBO Max and all these other streaming services have kind of taken over our lives, and the idea of sitting down at 6 p.m. sharp to watch something other than sports is kind of
right.
a part of the old time.
And I've been satisfied with my DirecTV experience, give or take, but I don't feel that motivated. I'm trying to see what they would offer me if I don't have the NFL package. What am I staying for that's going to be better than the other places?
Live sports has constantly been, we've written about this on CNET so many times, it is the thing that keeps a lot of cable and satellite running. And I really don't know what happens as sports increasingly becomes a part of the streaming world. And not Netflix, right? It's people like Amazon and Twitter and Facebook who are going after it. But they all want it because they know that once they crack that nut, they're going to take down what has been decades of cable and satellite ruling the roost.
Yeah, you would think that, you know, DirecTV, and I think they've done things along these lines in the past with, for example, music festivals. But over the weekend, I watched Lollapalooza on Hulu. Hulu was running a stream. It wasn't DirecTV that was doing that. So some of these other streaming services have captured a lot of those ideas.
Well, they have so much money to do it with. I mean, this is Silicon Valley money pushing a lot of this stuff. And if it's not Silicon Valley money, it's investors on Wall Street hoping to get a Silicon Valley payday. So you see a lot of this happening. And it's the same way that Netflix has kind of gone from being a little joke to Hollywood to being a lot of the power in Hollywood. I imagine that as things go on, the sports world's going to become very similar. And that leaves us back at the question that began this, right? What does DirecTV become? I don't know, right? I hope it doesn't become AOL and that it actually has value to people beyond it simply being a thing that people who are not comfortable with streaming are using, but I don't know.
Yeah, and you mentioned AOL. I mean, some of these things, my wife used to work for Verizon, and Verizon purchased AOL and MapQuest years ago in an effort to take advantage of that, and they just spun both of those too again, didn't they?
Yeah, and they spun those in a very similar problem, right? Which was that Verizon was like, this is not making enough money to justify its existence. And that, I mean, that's the ultimate thing, is that as these companies, you know, AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, they don't want to be dumb pipes that we just pay $50 or $100 to a month to be able to get to the internet. They want to sell us the stuff inside the pipe.
Yes.
They want to sell us the internet. But unfortunately, they've learned it's a lot harder than they thought it was.
CNET editor-at-large Ian shares with me this afternoon. Let's talk about a couple other things. Are there new Twitter privacy rules that I'm hearing about?
Well, what's going on is that Twitter is trying to make it a little better for people to be able to actually deal with their privacy. So, for example, one thing that they're doing is that they are making it so you can log in with Google or Apple accounts, which, believe it or not, we're just getting to that point with Twitter. Whatever, right? That's something that makes life a little easier. But I think the other thing is that they're doing kind of a privacy checkup thing that they're testing out. And what it'll do is that, in theory, it'll make it so that you're a little smarter about how you use Twitter, right? You're a little more careful about how your privacy settings are set up, whether or not your account, you want it to be private. But also there are all these other features they've added recently. For example, you can now set it so that if you put out a tweet and you don't want people who are not friends with you to reply, you can just turn that off. So it's almost like Facebook, right, where you can have friends only. Only all your tweets are still public, but you can control who interacts with them. And that's something that, you know, Twitter has been dealing with a lot, is all these bots and terrible people who sign up for a new account and then harass people. You can turn all that off if you want to now, and a lot of people don't even know that.
Somewhat talked about this last, I think it was last week, yeah, because I was on vacation the week before. Maybe it was even then. But there was, you know, I have a daughter named Alexa, and there are a lot of people who have the name Alexa or kids named Alexa that don't like the fact that you have it's the Amazon device, right? Amazon.
You know how many devices you just set off?
Yeah, I know, because I said Alexa several times, and that's what happens with my daughter. But they're actually changing the name and the voice a little bit, or giving you that option. Now, you've always had that option to call it something else, I think, right?
Yes, you could call it computer if you wanted to, which was like very Star Trek of them, right? But now they're going to offer a new option as well. The name is Ziggy, which I guess if you're a David Bowie fan, that's really cool. But it's an interesting, you know, look, the reality is that The name Alexa has become a part of our culture. Now I've gone and done it. And, you know, I think that what's also interesting is if you look, I actually looked this up the other day. The name has gone from being somewhere in the
number popularity?
35 most popular a decade ago. Now it's at 130 something or 150 something. So it's become much less popular, which, hey, I would not choose to use that name if I was thinking about whether or not they'd be competing with a device.
My daughter was born in 2015, and that came out 2016. So we were
exactly.
just ahead of the curve.
Exactly, right? So you're not blamed for that. But the thing that I think is interesting is I looked up Ziggy is somewhere in the thousands, so no one is competing for that name.
I don't know anyone named Ziggy. I will say this. The Washington Post interviewed me a couple of weeks ago. I don't think they used my quotes. They were doing a story about people who have kids named Alexa and whether or not we were upset by that. And I told the reporter, she didn't like this very much because you can always tell with reporters, it didn't fit the narrative. I said, look, it's something we talked about. It hasn't become that big of a deal. And for my daughter, she gets kind of a kick out of it, and she laughs about it. She doesn't have kids picking on her. And I guess I felt in the back of my mind that by the time it becomes potentially an issue when she's a teenager or whatever, we've moved on to Ziggy or whatever else it is. I don't know where we're
at. Or she can move on to Lexi.
Well, that's right.
There's so many options.
That's right. That is right. Although that kind of sounds like a stripper name, so may avoid that one. I'm just saying, just got to be careful with that, Ian.
Wow, I hadn't even thought of that.
I didn't think that either. I have a friend named Lexi. I need to warn off.
Well, they're not all strippers. I'm just saying.
That's good to know.
I've gotten off the rails here. Ian Scheer from CNET, always great to have you on. Very appreciated. You have a great week.
You as well. Take care.
All right, take care. Sorry, I didn't mean to insult people named Lexi.
So I made fun of Rush fans, and now you're making fun of Lexi strippers.
No, I'm just saying that I've thought about that in terms of that name change, but there's there's another one too. You could be Alex, right? You could just be Alex.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's not a bad
or
just change your name altogether. Maybe that's where we're heading.
What's her middle name? Well, don't say it on the air.
Well, it's Lynn. I can say that. Hello. It's my wife's late mother's name, so it's Lynn.
Well, that's nice. Well, she doesn't look like Lynn.
That's like a 1960s name.
Has anyone tested the other voices on Alexa yet? Because you can do, was it Snoop Dogg or who was it?
That's what I want.
No,
it was
Shaq.
That is one of the voices. That would be great.
You give me the ability to put Snoop, I'll get an Alexa device, and I'll call it Snoop. I think it's going to be fun. All right, we have Governor Parson coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I wanted to run down, though, a thread that I saw earlier today on Twitter because I think, and it's a long thread, but I think it's going to resonate with people. Personally, I feel, and I'm double vaxxed, and I feel like people should be vaccinated. I think it's an important thing. We'll hear that from the governor. But it is something that's important to remember why people perhaps are concerned, why they don't believe what they're hearing from the CDC. All of these things sort of play into one another. So I don't even know who this person is on Twitter. Someone named Konstantin Kissen, at Konstantin Kissen. And he writes this: you're struggling to understand why some people are vaccine hesitant. The let me help you mega thread. Imagine you're a normal person. The year is 2016. Rightly or wrongly, you believe most of what you see in the media. You believe the polls are broadly reflective of public opinion. You believe doctors and scientists are trustworthy and independent. You're a decent, reasonable person who follows the rules and trusts authority. Imagine your shock then when Brexit, which you were assured won't happen because it's a fringe movement led by racists, happens. The polls, which widely predicted it wouldn't happen, were completely wrong. In fairness, there was some tightening of the polls as they got closer to that election, but the polls were relatively wrong. The next tweet: the experts and media pundits who told you it wouldn't happen the day after were also wrong. Oh, well, you say these things happen. Imagine that soon after Donald Trump is running for president, you're told by your favorite media publications that he's going to lose. It is this point where I need to raise my hand and say, yes, Dave, you remember this. I insisted to the point where I offered to shave my head if Donald J. Trump won the election. Right?
I remember this.
Did I get out of that whole
deal? Did.
Thank God. Chris let me off the hook. He called me the next day. He goes, look, dude, you don't have to shave your head. But I was wrong. I didn't think. I just thought I know. That disappointed everyone.
Disappointing.
I know, but I took the deal. He gave me the window, Sue.
Ugh.
And I took the path to having hair. But I was wrong. I was very, very wrong, and a lot of people were. Some experts say his opponent has a 99% chance of winning. Imagine waking up on the morning after the election to discover that the pollsters, the media experts, the politicians you still trusted were wrong again. I remember working in the KMOX studio that night, and the New York Times had their little gas meter thing, and it showed, you know, 70% for Hillary Clinton, and then it was like 65, and it was like 40%. I mean, it was going down. Right. So then Constantine Kissin says, and now the racist monster they told you would never get near the White House as the leader of the free world. How did this happen, you ask yourself? How could all the people in charge of informing you be so wrong? It was the Russians, they tell you. The Russians did Brexit and they got Trump elected too. Imagine that for the next 3.5 years, you watch as the media and the political class run with the Russian collusion narrative. They tell you how, when, and where. The dossiers, the whistleblowers, the peeing prostitutes. Forgot about that one. Imagine your desperation for things to make sense again. The Mueller report is coming, and it will set your world straight. Evidence of foreign meddling in the 2016 election and Brexit is coming to save your unsettled mind. Imagine your shock then when you discover that Brexit and Trump had little to do with foreign meddling. The screaming about Russians and Brexit dies down as well. Imagine that bit by bit you discover that events which the media and the political class told you would not and could not happen, not only happened, but happened without some sort of evil interference. Instead, millions of your fellow citizens voted for them. Again, you ask, how could this happen? How could the media have the answer? Racism. Your country is racist, they tell you. If you're white, this seems strange to you. Other than a handful of idiots, you've never met a racist. If you're an ethnic minority immigrant like me, this seems even stranger. Why would people in one of the most welcoming, tolerant countries in the world want to convince themselves their country is racist when it's so obviously not? But the evidence is right there on your TV screen. Imagine your horror as a gay black actor is assaulted by MAGA hat-wearing thugs who racially abuse him and put a noose around his neck. He cries while talking about it. Remember, he went on ABC News. And he cried, Jussie Smollett. Imagine your outrage as you see news reports of a bunch of MAGA hat-wearing kids from a religious school contemptuously, that's a hard word to say if you're not prepared to say it. I think I pulled it off, though. Confront a Native America elder. Reza Aslan tells you that the kid has a punchable face, and while you abhor violence, it's hard to disagree. Aisha Sultan wrote a disgusting column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which I wish the Covington Catholic lawyers would sue her for. It was despicable. I had to throw that in. Imagine then for days you watch coverage of these events with expert after expert, pundit after pundit sharing and fueling your outrage about them. With every word, your belief that you're a good person, that your country is a good country, wavers. Imagine that soon after, however, the Jussie Smollett story turns out to be an attention-seeking hoax. Imagine that you quickly discover that the Native American elder was the one who confronted the kids and not the other way around. And what's funny about that is there's still people to this day, just like Mike Brown, that don't get that. They've never watched the video. They saw the original tweets and headlines. They never paid attention. Constantine Kissin says, if this is such a racist country, you ask yourself, why would they need to make up stories of racism? As you ponder this, you remember that for years now, you've been expected to go along with other make-believe. You're expected to believe that whether you're male or female, it's not as simple as you once thought. Whatever you learned in biology at school is wrong. You no longer know how many genders there are, and it seems dangerous to try to find out. Imagine reading that the experts at the American Psychological Association say that traditional masculinity is pathological and harmful. Imagine that you still want to believe the media and their experts, but now that requires you to think that your country is racist, men are bad, and gender is a social construct, whatever that means. It is at this point that a pandemic emerges on the other side of the world. I told you this was long. You are initially unconcerned, but as scenes emerge from Italy and other countries, it's clear that something big is happening. You watch nervously as politicians give press conferences after press conference, flanked by experts to explain the situation. The racist Donald Trump shuts down travel from China. In response, the mayor of Florence advises citizens to fight racism by hugging a Chinese person. Shortly after, Nancy Pelosi, a respected Democrat, visits Chinatown in San Francisco to explain there's no reason tourists or locals should be staying away from the area because of the coronavirus concerns. Thank God there are some sensible, non-racist people who aren't overreacting, you say to yourself. Imagine watching as Trump doubles down on his racism by claiming the virus may have come from a lab in Wuhan. But the UK's chief medical officer tells you not to wear a mask and wash your hands instead. The lockdowns are introduced around the world. You diligently follow the rules. You stay home only to go out once and live off savings or government grants. You're proud to be doing your part. Thanks to you and millions of your fellow citizens, the first wave of the pandemic does not overwhelm the healthcare system. While thousands sadly die, you've helped to protect the NHS. Imagine your confusion as the same people have spent 3 months telling you masks don't work and you shouldn't wear them introduce mask mandates. We're following the science, they tell you. This makes little sense, but a pandemic is no time for questions. As you cautiously go to the supermarket, you notice that masks have made people far less likely to social distance. You remember reading somewhere that bicycle helmets work similarly. They give the wearer more confidence, and the result is more accidents and injuries, not fewer. Silly people, you say to yourself, if only they would follow government advice. And this goes on and on and on. I mean, I don't have enough time to go through all of these tweets because they're awesome. And he nails it here. For example, the lockdown continue. However, a man is killed in Minneapolis while being arrested for a petty crime. The man is black. The officer is white. The arrest is captured on video, quickly goes viral. Imagine your horror as you watch an officer of the law kneel on another man's neck until he passes out. This is disgusting, you say. I hope they throw the book at him. Overnight, a huge campaign for racial justice. No one explains what racism had to do with the incident, but they don't need to. I was always amazed by that. I made the case, Dave, you remember this, emphatically, that had nothing to do with racism. It was terrible what happened, what Derek Chauvin did, but it wasn't race-related. He says, this guy says, the fact that an identical incident happened to a white man called Tony Timpa is never mentioned for context. I didn't even know that. I did not even know that one right there. It goes on and on. And they get into the riots from last year. The media describes these events as mostly peaceful protests. And then, of course, you juxtapose that with what happened on January 6th. This guy, I don't know who he is, but he's pretty good. And he nailed it here. And you wonder why people don't trust information, the media, or the government. Not too hard to figure out, really. Governor Parson coming up next. All right, audio cut of the day is still coming up this afternoon, but not before we have a conversation with the governor of the state of Missouri. Mike Parson is with me this afternoon, back on the show. How are you, Governor?
Hey, doing great, Mark. How's everything in the big city?
Well, we had some news here earlier with the judge ruling on the TRO for the attorney general on the mask mandate in St. Louis County. I don't know if you've had a chance to digest that or you have any thoughts on that, because right now the mask mandate will be out at least until they hear this case next week.
Well, I think it's what we expected by what happened. I think this is a perfect example of why the legislative branch this year passed a law when people overstep their boundaries, don't go through the process of listening to the people in their districts and in their hometowns. It's problematic when you start mandating things without the will of the people.
Well, and I completely agree with you on that. We obviously, and you and I have had many conversations in the last year and a half. You've always taken COVID seriously. I've always taken it seriously. Your approach, I've completely been behind. But now again, you have this deja vu feeling, Governor, with the mask mandates and the cases piling up. I don't know, you know, you're the guy that gets all this information on the state of COVID in the state of Missouri, the hospitals filling up, things along those lines. I think a lot of people don't know what to believe. So what is your message right now on COVID in Missouri?
Yeah, well, first of all, Mark, let me just say this. The biggest problem we have in the healthcare arena today is not so much a bed, it's the healthcare workers themselves. That's where the real problem is right now, is just getting the people in the hospitals to take care of patients. I don't necessarily think it's a bed space, but it really goes down to the healthcare worker is where our biggest concern is. Why we brought people into the state to help in Southwest Missouri is why we brought some ambulance support down there in that area and continue to be prepared for these things. We know a lot more today than what we did a year ago when we addressed these issues. So there is some things we can put in place. Definitely a concern when these numbers are going up with this Delta variant in the state. But look, we're not going to do a mandates. I've never done that since the beginning. People out there understand the situation we're in, and they got to make some decisions on their own.
You know, I don't know if you have the time to pay attention to the national media coverage, but I found it interesting. You had CBS doing a story even yesterday that I saw on the CBS morning news that talked about the Lake of the Ozarks and the cases piling up, but they ignore, by the way, they're shooting outdoor pictures, but they're ignoring some of the situations in Kansas City and St. Louis, in North St. Louis County, where there are still a fair amount, not just people who support you and are conservatives or Republicans, they're on the other side of the political equation. They're not getting vaxxed either. So this is a problem. It only seems to focus on the Missourians who are the red voters and not the rest of them, but this is a broader problem, isn't it?
Yeah, most certainly. You know, they get the politics and the clutter off the side for just a second. At the end of the day, we have options out there right now for everybody. If you want to take a vaccine, and be clear, if you want to take the vaccine, people walk past the vaccine every day. So that's there. We got to do our part to say, okay, the people that want to take it, or maybe somebody riding a fence, you give them enough information to make a decision. If you want to talk about the urban areas in Kansas City and St. Louis, I think we've teamed up with the urban leagues. We've turned up the clergies more than anybody has, making that available. If somebody wants the vaccine in this state, they can get the vaccine.
Well, and that's something that's important, and there are plenty of options for that. You know what was interesting, though, about something you said just a minute ago about the hospitals and the hospital workers? I want to identify this person, but I heard from someone last week who said this, and maybe this plays into it, that he had taken his dad to Mercy here in St. Louis to schedule a procedure, and they said it would be very difficult. Said the hospital has 700 patients, 40 of which have COVID. Not sure what the other 660 are, but again, maybe that is more of a staffing, not only a COVID issue, right?
Most certainly. If you really look at the inside numbers and not maybe what the media blitz is sometime on some of us trying to put a different picture on this, what we really know before the Delta variant even started coming up in numbers, a lot of the hospitals, especially in the Kansas City area, was pretty well full, or probably that 70-80%. Because we had a delay in surgeries there,
yes,
for a long time, for 18
right.
months.
Yeah, that's right.
So more people were going to the hospital. So it was already at a high number before we ever got into this. We just got to be able to adjust to it, and we will and we can.
Well, and these are so important, these perspectives, because these are facts that I think people don't hear quite often. I'm a little confused, forgive me, on the Medicaid expansion issue. Just let me ask you this, because obviously the Supreme Court gets involved in Missouri, rules that it was constitutional. But the other issue is whether or not it will be funded by the legislature. Is that right? And is there still talk of perhaps a special session for that or not?
Well, I mean, we're looking at all the options, but the bottom line is you still don't have the money to pay for it.
Yeah.
So even if a judge would come in tomorrow, which I really don't like the idea of being at the mercy of just one judge to make decisions for us, but if we had to go down that road, you know, you literally would have to bring all these other people into the pool you currently have, and you're going to have to divide that money up. So the people, you're talking working or able-bodied adults, which means nothing's wrong with the most of these. Now you're going to mix them in with disabilities. You're going to mix them in with other people with medical conditions. And, you know, you're just going to deplete that funds for a lot of people that probably do need it worse. So I think that's a reality you have to issue. What we would like to see done is we're going to talk to the courts. We'll be in the court this week. But the legislators need a opportunity to respond to the Supreme Court decision. They haven't met since then. So, I mean, you've got to give them – I believe you have to give them the ability to correct the problem if they're going to correct it, or say, no, we're not going to do nothing.
But again, would that mean a special session being called or not?
Well, I don't know. It depends what the court rulings are. If we can kind of put that off till January, I think that's a smart decision to make, to give everybody time to kind of prepare for this. But again, you don't know. You're at the hands of a one judge, so we'll have to see what he says. What we don't want him to do is order us to do something too fast, too quick, that we can't even implement correctly. That's the worst thing that could happen.
Governor Mike Parson is my guest. What would you say just overall about the state of the economy in Missouri right now? And the Medicaid expansion does play into it. Supporters say, look, that's going to help the economy, but you have inflation sort of warming up a little bit, and you know, you still have people sitting on the sidelines when it comes to jobs. What's your take on the economy right now?
Well, I think you have to be very cautious here. I don't think there's a question you're going to see revenues probably dip. I think we'll be able to probably be announcing that here just shortly, that that's going to happen here in our state. Inflation's the real thing that's out there, and we got to prepare for that. And when you start adding on to the Medicaid services, you just can't look at it this year because we got to pull the money that come out of the Federal CARES Act. What's this thing going to be like 5 years from now with additional people in there? And you can go back to the history of that. Every program we've ever done like this has grown every year. They have never stayed the same. They have never went backwards. They have grown every year we've implemented a program with the federal government.
1 week from today, you correct me if I'm wrong, 1 week from today is August 10th. Missouri entered the Union as the 24th state on that day in 1821. I know you've been on a bit of a bicentennial tour, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun going to a lot of these towns and learning the history of our state. But a great mention on your radio show today that I might just say, think of all the things this state has been through in 200 years. We've been through some tough, tough times, tougher than COVID. And we've come through every one of them. We've been better off for it as we went through it, and we've been able to survive with good people. We will do the same thing with this. That'll go down in the history books.
You know, I feel a little guilty just because, and I like history. I probably like history a lot more than when I was in, you know, high school. But I don't even know. As long as I've lived in Missouri, longer than any other state, I probably could use a little information on how the state started and some of that. So maybe an opportunity here to do a little research as we celebrate the 200th birthday of Missouri. I'll get someone on that's much smarter than me next week to talk about it, Governor.
Nah, that sounds good. That says, hey, I want to tell you one other thing today. You mentioned CBS earlier in your interview.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just want you to know you bumped them today. They wanted to interview me, too, but I put them off for you. So you just remember that as you go down the road.
Oh, I'm going to remember that. And, you know, CBS is, of course, the network that came in here, swooped into St. Louis, and did the puff pieces on Kim Gardner. And after the news that came out about her the last couple of weeks with the first-degree murder charges, I don't think they look so good. But I appreciate that, Governor. I really do. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk soon. Enjoy the bicentennial tour.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Take care. Governor Mike Parson with us this afternoon. I like the guy. You know, I didn't know him before he became lieutenant governor and before he was governor. I really didn't have a relationship with him at all. Considering everything that happened, though, with Eric Greitens, I think he was probably right for the moment, right?
Yeah.
He has a good tone, and I think people... There's a tag on Mike Parson, I think, that he's sort of a dumb redneck, and that's to be further from the truth.
No, I find him to be really genuine and a straightforward man.
Absolutely.
He was put in a tough spot.
Yes.
Well, and I think he's done a great job. I really do. And he's been great to us, so I appreciate that. It's 5:43. We have traffic coming up, of course. Audio cut of the day on deck as well. Governor Andy Cuomo in a little bit of trouble after a report today from his attorney general in New York. We may feature that in Cut of the Day. Hey, Sue, would you mind calling DirecTV for me here in a few minutes, see if I can get a new satellite dish?
Oh, yeah, I'm on it. Because they'll give me a different answer.
Right. I can't. You're going to have to. Maybe I should record this conversation that takes place because it's just. And I know you're getting customer service people, right?
Well, yeah, it's not.
And they don't know what's going on.
No, they don't.
But for those who missed it, I had a new roof getting being installed today. Woke us up at 6:13. God bless them, working hard. Nice day to do that, though.
You were so optimistic about it too this morning.
No, I was glad to have them. Look,
right.
I'm glad to have
you
the roof.
You really
but
were.
I usually get up a little bit later, but apparently, so my wife sends me the text. They destroyed the DirecTV dish. I knew they had to remove it, and I knew that they had removed it earlier. Apparently, it's not something that's going to go back on the house. So she calls DirecTV. She's not the authorized user because she's only married to me.
That.
I know. That drives me crazy. But when you talk, this happens with who else would this happen with customer service-wise? Like phone companies, if you're calling AT&T.
Sure.
But you'll get the person on the phone. I know they're just trying to read from their script and do their job, but they don't really fix the problem. So what the guy tells me is this is a physically destroyed satellite dish. And he says, well, we don't have the ability to replace that. I'm like, well, somebody better have the ability to replace it. And he talked about sending a tech out. Okay. Well, have him armed with a new satellite dish because that's what I need.
I always love when they go,
point.
Let's troubleshoot this.
That's what he said. That's what, so he said something about an error code. If the satellite dish is broken, you'll have an, yeah, dude, I'm telling you it's broken. Okay. I can send you a picture of it right now. So we'll see. I'll tell you how that turns out. Tomorrow, I'm sure that you're just desperately.
I'm on the edge of
my
seat.
Can tell, Sue. I know.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, we have a few here. The governor of New York, there was an investigation by the attorney general, and that investigation revealed today that Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is a dirty old man. Mm. Want some examples? Here you go.
The most serious was the governor's unwelcome physical contact with women, including touching intimate body parts. He engaged in this conduct with state employees, including those who didn't work in the executive chamber, as well as non-employees. One current employee, who we identify as Executive Assistant Number One, endured repeated physical violations. On November 16, 2020, in the Executive Mansion, the governor hugged Executive Assistant Number One and reached under her blouse to grab her breast. This was the culmination of a pattern of inappropriate sexual conduct, including numerous close and intimate hugs where the governor held her so closely that her breasts were pressed against his body, and he sometimes ran his hands up and down her back while he did so. There were also several occasions on which the governor grabbed her butt.
So that is the investigator for the Attorney General. Her name is Ann Clark. This is the Attorney General, Letitia James. She was asked, should the governor resign?
We were tasked with the responsibility of engaging in an investigation. And we have concluded our investigation. And our work is done. And so as it relates to next steps, that's entirely up to the governor and or the assembly.
And the governor being very defiant, doing some victim blaming today, saying, nope, I'm not going anywhere.
My job is not about me. My job is about you. What matters to me at the end of the day is getting the most done I can for you. And that is what I do every day. And I will not be distracted from that job.
He said, for example, one of my missions was to kill thousands of elderly people at the beginning of COVID. And I successfully achieved that.
Mark, did anybody else notice that the woman was executive assistant number one? I mean, how many were there?
Well, that's how they referred to her in the report.
Well, yeah, there were others. You're not number one. There's more.
So the question then goes to the president, as we have a superfecta of audio cuts of the day. Should the governor of New York resign, President Joe Biden?
First, I'd like to start with the news of the day. Given back in March, you said that if the investigation confirmed the allegations against Governor Cuomo, then he should resign. So will you now call on him to resign, given the investigator said the 11 women were credible?
I stand by that statement.
Are you now calling on him to resign?
Yes.
And if he doesn't resign, do you believe he should be impeached and removed from office?
Let's take one thing at a time here. I think he should resign.
Well, there you go. The president's saying he didn't have any other option, I don't think, because he should resign. And by the way, the bumper music is happenstance here, but maybe fits creepy stalker song for Andrew Cuomo, wow. Right? There are your audio cuts of the day on 97.1 FM Talk.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.